Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, February 3rd, 2017. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. I am wearing a mostly soft-collared shirt, I would say. It's Casual Friday. It's not my normal soft-collared shirt, but I figured why not mix it up a little bit, get crazy. Joining us today, Cliff Schechter from Cliff Schechter's world. And also from his very own world, Andy Kindler will be here to look back on this week that feels like it lasted for 3 years. Somebody do the math. We've got 208 more weeks, at least, of this. 3 years. Somebody do the math. Also on the program today, Trump administration announces new sanctions for Iran. Dodd-Frank under attack. And finally, that pesky new rule that insisted financial advisors work for your benefit is gone. Phew. Scientists marvel at the increasingly non-natural warming of the Arctic. Betsy DeVos moves a little bit closer to destroying our education system. And voters be damned, that horrible ethics burden lifted in South Dakota, I should say. Uber CEO steps down from Trump's advisory council, economic advisory council, but still continue.
Hashtag keep Uber deleted.
Indeed. We'll talk about my favorite riding things. And today we remember the Bowling Green Massacre's victims.
It was a terrible, almost as bad as what Arnold's done to the Apprentice ratings. Talk about massacre or swamped.
All this and more, ladies and gentlemen. Casual Friday. Man, oh man. Well, 1 week at a time, ladies and gentlemen, we made it. Made it to the end of the week. And of course, we all know what a casual Friday means now. Back in the day, ladies and gentlemen, and by the day, I mean the days when Janine Garofalo and I hosted a show entitled The Majority Report on Air America Radio. Janine would talk about always Friday was the one cheek sneak. That was, of course, the day where they would drop the news they didn't want reported. Now, I don't know that that's the theory in the Trump White House. I think that maybe there's some theory to the or credence to the theory that Bannon waits for Jared Kushner, the only other person who we know has Trump's ear in a way that could compete with Bannon having Trump's ear.
That's fine. I'll just wait till a little Jew prick and his little Jew convert wife for doing their fake holiday, and then we're going to war with China.
Right.
Let's do it.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. You ever read about Every Greece, Friday. You weak Jew? Martial spirit.
ancient Egyptians just shredded you people. They shredded you.
You ever hear of a Sung Tzu? It's the art of war, which is Sung's a Confucius, say. Wait till you do Shabbat, say.
Oh, my God. So who knows? Maybe, sometime after sundown tonight, we'll hear that.
insane, vindictive Bob Beckel.
Right, exactly. It's funny. Bob Beckel goes away, Steve Bannon shows up. Coincidence?
Trying to be disrespected on the five. You can have a world war.
So tonight, maybe, we'll be, I guess we'll find out. There was some reports that, you know, over the past, I guess, 24 hours now, I guess, God, story in the New York Times that the Trump administration now seems to be following the Obama administration principles of foreign policy, or I don't know. I mean, I guess the only thing being that Donald Trump came out and chastised the Israelis. Said no more announcing settlements, but Michael had a theory, which was, I think, spot on. It was just that doesn't Trump has an issue with settlements. It's he has an issue with people doing stuff without telling him first. Everything's got to go through me now. Everything's got to go through me. You want new settlements? You can have them. But you got to come to your godfather first.
Yeah.
It's like the beginning of The Godfather. It's like, for a long time, you had... All these.
Except the Godfather had leadership skills.
You never take my favors. But now you come to me with a problem?
You come to me like that.
Well, you've always turned down my friendship.
And you want to build settlements?
You want to build settlements?
Not even a couple of shekels for my hotels.
You never refer to me as Godfather. Big Trump. What do you think his nickname for himself is?
He never referred to me as Mein Führer. I don't do subtext.
Exactly. And then we had Nikki Haley, Matt, head to the United Nations because she's the UN ambassador, which would make sense for her to go there. But note, there's a couple of things we'll preface this with. One, we know... The Trump administration has basically said, we don't care about the UN anymore. And to the extent that the U.S. can keep the UN at arm's length and cut back on its funding, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing, you know, some attempts to make it sort of just difficult for diplomats down the road. Nikki Haley is... probably about as far down on the list of relevance as you can get, seems to me, within the cabinet. But here she is chastising Russia, of all countries.
I consider it unfortunate that the occasion of my first appearance here is one in which I must condemn the aggressive actions of Russia. It is unfortunate because it is a replay of far too many instances over many years in which United States representatives have needed to do that. It should not have to be that way. We do want to better our relations with Russia. However, the dire situation in eastern Ukraine is one that demands clear and strong condemnation of Russian actions. The sudden increase in fighting in eastern Ukraine has trapped thousands of civilians and destroyed vital infrastructure. And the crisis is spreading, endangering many thousands more. This escalation of violence must stop. The United States stands with the people of Ukraine, who have suffered for nearly 3 years under Russian occupation and military intervention. Until Russia and the separatists it supports respect Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, this crisis will continue. Eastern Ukraine, of course, is not the only part of the country suffering because of Russia's aggressive actions. The United States continues to condemn and call for an immediate end to the Russian occupation of Crimea. Crimea is a part of Ukraine. Our Crimea-related sanctions will remain in place until Russia returns control over the peninsula to Ukraine.
There's a couple of things that occur to me when I hear this. One is that they really don't want people to talk about this botched operation in Yemen. We'll talk a little bit about it with Cliff. But I think, too, is just you've got Putin saying, like, I give you a little room, too.
It is okay. You send brown girl with curry name out, and she will say we are doing bad thing. I think it is okay. Are you sure? But you're not doing a bad thing. It's a good thing, right? No, it is a strategy, you stupid man.
Donald, don't worry. Do what I say.
It's complicated. It is okay. By the way, look at Donald Schwarzenegger. Ratings are terrible. Am I right?
I mean, I think, you know, it was interesting at the end there. She said that the sanctions were going to remain in place while they remain on the peninsula. But I wonder if there isn't a little wiggle room there. And if she's really the person who makes these policies.
She is Indian governor girl who cock husband. Make her go to UN.
So it's interesting, Joe, though, that they're making an issue of this, I think. And then, of course, I can't wait for her to get tweeted at by being, you know, a new McCarthyite.
Yeah, that's really what you should focus on.
But I mean,
no,
I guess
worse than anything Samantha Power did.
We'll remember this and see where it goes. Now, of course, the flip side is the Congress just rolled back the regulations on bribing foreign governments if you're an oil or a mining company. So Russia's got that going for them. There'll be some folks will be getting some new payments. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, among other countries, when we come back, we'll be talking to Cliff Schechter.
We are the Village Green Preservation Society. God save the old duck, Bonneville and variety. God save strawberry jam and all the different varieties. Serving the old ways from being abused. Protecting the new ways for me and for you. What more can we do? We are the Draft Beer Preservation Society. God save Mrs. Moss and good old Mother Riley. God save the George Cross and all those who were loving them. We are the Sherlock Holmes, English speaking vernacular. God save Fu Manchu, the Moriarty and Dracula. We are the office block, persecution affinity. God save the little shops, China cups and virginity. We are the skyscraper, condemnation affiliates. God save Tudor houses, anti-table dominions.
We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone, a man who inspired 1,000 notes.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, and soon of an unprecedented podcast, Bigly.
Huge.
You got almost 200. you're one person away from 200 people contributing, and almost exactly halfway to your goal.
Yeah, I wanted to say, for anybody listening who wants to be that 200th person and be the one that pushes me over 10,000, we're at 9957, folks. For $43,
sweet,
you could make history.
All right, well, head over there. We've got a link at
Or a few people, maybe $10 could make history. We're not greedy here. We're right. Just trying to get to a number so we can spend more time insulting Trump the way he deserves to be.
GoFundMe.com/Cliff Schechter, unprecedented. You can find it presidented. All right, so Cliff, here we are. It's the end of week two with the Trump administration. About as insane.
It feels like it's been not even three months. I don't think does it justice. No. I deal with like 9 months.
It does feel like it's been relentless and long. And I think most people have been saying, like, I couldn't imagine it would be this bad. I've talked to a lot of people who said, like, I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't think it would be this bad. And I don't even really know that we've gotten into the full badness of it yet. I mean, there's been a lot of executive orders. There's been a lot of, these stories. I mean, let's start here.
I'm going to put down my marker, as I think I did on your show in the past. And I'm interested, before we start, just to have what you said, but I actually am, I've been wrong about plenty of things in my life. So far, I'm only wrong in that it actually hasn't been as bad as I thought. I really thought there would have been, I suspected there would have been much worse than what occurred on Berkeley's campus or whatever, and actually sort of something with a body count, frankly, I was scared was going to happen. So I figured white supremacists love the kind of like they were going to do in Montana, and maybe did do, although everybody stood up to them, we're going to march somewhere, and that was going to spark something pretty bad. So they're so far pathetic, and yet somehow they haven't even reached the depths of where I think we can go.
Yeah, I mean, so what are you talking about? You're talking about more of the Trump supporters, or what?
Well, I'm talking about actual violence with a body count due to Trump kind of messages, like, 10 years ago I would have punched that guy in the face. Some of the kinds of things he said during the campaign, encouraging violence and leading to actual deaths, I expected. We're going to talk about this horrible case in Yemen, where it seems actually quite clear that we don't know that it was preventable, that a Navy SEAL was killed. We don't know that it was preventable, that an 8-year-old girl, the granddaughter of Anwar al-Awlaki, was killed, as well as numerous other civilians. I was reading something about where the grandfather was speaking about it. I apologize. Yep. I thought that there'd be multiple cases and we'd have lost potentially more. I mean, again, I don't want to, because what's already happened is terrible. So I'm trying to be careful here, but you've got somebody who, he wasn't in the, maybe we should just transition into that, because he wasn't even in the Situation Room when the raid was going on. He was off watching himself on TV or insulting somebody or doing something. He doesn't take his job seriously. And again, we can do counterfactuals all day, but I will forever be of the belief that initially that first year and a half, George W. Bush is not taking his job seriously at all, helped 9/11 happen in the way that it did. I don't know if we could have unraveled the whole thing and stopped all of it. I know that certainly not reading your briefings, not taking them seriously, not sitting down with the principals until a week before the actual attack, when they had been trying to meet with you for 6 months over this thing or more, and going to clear brush on your ranch and think real hard about stem cell research as an issue when this stuff was going on, didn't help. And this guy makes Bush, look like the most attentive person in the world.
Right.
I mean, he's not going to breathe. He's doing, one briefing a week? He's not paying attention to what's going on. So whether that's an attack on our people living abroad, Americans, in a mass slaughter, whether that's an attack on our troops somewhere, whether that's an attack on the homeland, whatever it is, I expected worse, frankly, already.
Well,
because
it's only been 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, so let's not count our chickens. I mean, my sense is with this, with the Yemen thing, and it's, to me, I have two perspectives on it. One is that the idea that we have now killed two American or killed more than two American citizens, but that we've killed two American citizens who are children, you know, without, and according to the grandfather, the grandfather thinks that it was a mistake that the U.S. killed the 8-year-old daughter of Al-Awlaki. It was not a mistake, as far as I can tell, that we killed the son.
Well, they claimed that it was. They said that it's because he was with a high-value target.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just saying that doesn't, you know, just so I finish here, I'm not saying that justifies it. I don't know if they actually were trying to assassinate him. Certainly they were very careless enough that they were willing to not get, you know, to know what's going on. I'm careful with those things only in that I know that, you know, these things move quickly and in real time. It's not easy. It doesn't mean I give anybody a free pass. I guess I'll just say I don't know if they were targeting him or not.
Yeah, I don't really know either. And I've been told different things, frankly, you know.
Right.
But nevertheless, that's quite a coincidence.
If you're killing one after another, it doesn't much matter if you're doing it by mistake or with malice. The message you're sending is the message is actually what Donald Trump said he wants to do.
Kill the family of terrorists.
The families of terrorists. And I mean, Jesus, you know, these people that we're up against are terrible enough when it comes to their willingness to kill innocent civilians. Are we unmorally, are we going to sink to their level? But, you know, strategically, are we going to give them the propaganda? On every level, it's a disaster.
Right. And we were doing that with the drone program. I think what this shows, though, is that at least maybe this will change his behavior. I doubt it. But I think clearly, you know, what this was about was Trump wanting to have like a mission on the ground that he could say that he had signed off on, you know, and if this hadn't been what sounds like it's, I think ultimately we're going to find out was a horrible, horrible disaster. I think they would have been, you know, proclaiming it from the mountaintops.
Well, look, I mean, we know what happened with Benghazi already. We know again and again and again how this name was dragged through the mud, and so that every American knows what Benghazi is, none of whom knew what the hell that it existed before. And look at what they did with that, and that here, I don't think that it could be much clearer that there needs to be an investigation, and that this person, our president, flippantly said, "Bep, go ahead, do it," after the Obama administration determined the intelligence wasn't good enough. And again, some of us think that at times the Obama administration has been too quick to send drones out and make attacks. So they didn't think that this was wrapped up enough, buttoned down, and maybe it's a better term, whatever. They didn't think it was all clear enough. And yet this guy comes in and is like, go ahead, do it.
What is pretty amazing is that, I mean, one can imagine if this had happened in the first week of the Obama administration, just right, you know, what is sort of surprising to me is that the media doesn't, you know, has been sort of dancing around this a little bit. You know, the idea that he's not in there and the Democratic politicians are not, you know, making hay, I guess, out of the, and maybe they realize, like, you know, we don't have the greatest record in terms of what we're doing with Yemen. But
well, I think it's more just that could be it, but I don't even think that's what it is. I think it's that, what do you pick? I mean, this is now just, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to make a big deal about this thing that's questionable constitutionally and makes you want to see what the hell he was doing when he made a decision to go. If it was just, as I would expect, he was busy tweeting and just sort of waved them on and didn't even read anything and didn't bother, you know, but do you have the time for that when you're already looking into him for violating the Constitution and accepting foreign money, for violating the Constitution in numerous other, I mean, like, where do you start and stop with all this stuff? Ignoring judicial orders? I mean, you know, it's quite clear that if this were Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, impeachment would be proceeding steadily at this point.
Right, of course.
And that our system, quite clearly, if people weren't 100% sure, is so broken. I mean, that's one thing, that maybe the only good that comes out of this is that, you know, we need a revival of sorts, not of the religious sort, but of the democratic sort in this country to bring our government back. Because quite clearly, it doesn't work at all. if it really we've come down to the point where somebody can commit the that something like Benghazi that was proven, you know, that there may have been a security lapse, there may have been mistakes. It was a war zone. This guy chose to stay, as an ambassador sometimes does, and it was, you know, some terrible things happened. I mean, we could learn from it and have better security. If that could be dragged on longer than the 9/11 and Pearl Harbor investigations were, but things as obvious as this, because the guy's own party is running things, they won't even look into, then the whole system is so broken. It's not even just like it's, you know, somewhat screwed up and it's been partisanship has made it worse. It's completely broken, like 100%. It doesn't work anymore because there's no one, if there's nobody in the guy's own party willing to hold him in check when he's doing things he's doing right now, then we're not a democracy, really.
We certainly have a breakdown. That is no doubt about it. And and what else is, I guess, is sort of striking me is, and we were talking about this just briefly before we got on air, is the leaking that's going on, both within the administration, also feels like sort of like outside of it. I mean, I feel like we know more about this botched Yemen thing than we generally do this quickly.
Or sometimes ever. I mean,
yes,
you know, a lot of these operations are kept secret. I mean, it's quite clear that you know, I mean, did you see that article in the Washington Post, I believe it was, on all the leaking, where you had, who was it? I mean, was the head of, like, the guy who was the head of, I want to say, like, in the State Department for human rights and, you know, whatever. I mean, a top guy there who lent his name to it made a sarcastic comment of the likes that you never see, which is along the lines of, oh, well, you know, of course this has these leaks have nothing to do with the entire national security apparatus, all thinking that our current commander-in-chief is a national security threat.
Right.
I mean, it was right there. Like, you could go years not seeing a quote like that with somebody putting their name to it.
Right.
And it's right there.
And,
you know,
this is pretty stunning. And I think there's like multiple things going on, right? I think there's like, there's infighting that is going on, a lot of jockeying. And I think there's also a lot of sort of like vague cries for help that I don't know, you know, like.
Right. Some of it's Bannon, Kushner, you know, Priebus, and whoever else is trying to jockey, and I'm sure some of it's that. But no, I mean, I think some of it, you've never seen something like all these rogue accounts set up on Twitter. I don't know which ones are real and which ones aren't. So I'm not saying for all we know they're all fake. But they seem to have some pretty good information. A number of them have tweeted out things because I follow most of them. And then I've seen them written up in a couple articles, which, again, maybe everyone's being faked out. I don't know. But so far, their information has actually seemed pretty good. I think some of them are real. And I just think, look, you know, some of it's people, we're all human beings. And if somebody comes in and you're in the CIA and compares you to Nazis, you may not forgive them for that. And then comes into your headquarters in front of a wall to honor those who've lost their lives and talks about, you know, all the illegal voters who voted for their opponent and how great he is. Maybe they don't forgive you for that either. I mean, I don't think we any of us would be shocked by that, but some people would be pretty pissed about all that and not have forgiven him, not to mention other things he's done and said, and his love for Vladimir Putin, I'm sure, doesn't go over well in parts of the CIA and FBI and other places. So, are we all at all surprised? He very publicly rebukes and humiliates people, and those people have friends and associates they work with.
And I think there's also, I mean, I think it's also goes beyond sort of retribution. I think there's people in there who are genuinely concerned that there is a real problem here. I mean, this stuff and I imagine most of it, if not all of it, I would imagine when we read about the phone conversation with Mexico or the phone conversation with Australia. I mean, I imagine most of that comes from their end, but I'm not sure about that from the Australian end. And this is, you know, it's bizarre. We had, you know, John McCain calling the ambassador of Australia and saying, like, don't take
we're
him.
Sorry.
You know, yeah.
We had to have a senator call the ambassador to say we're sorry. And from everything I've read and heard, and again, you know, I can't say this 100% sure, but everybody has said that this guy, the Australian, you know, Turnbull, is a guy of really who's got a sort of calm demeanor. That he's not the sort of person who would get into a screaming match with, you know, I mean, it just, that's how disrespectful if what we've heard about this call is right. That basically he started yelling at the guy and saying how their refugee policy sucked and then bragging about how much he won by and saying they should listen to him. Eventually, there are people that don't like that when they're leaders of major countries and, you know, continents the size of the United States. Maybe they don't like you talking to them like they're children.
And it's possible that, you know, the Trump organization announced it first, right? Like a Mr. Trump really handed it to the guy from Australia. And then at that point, the Australians were like, well, actually, this is what really happened.
That's certainly possible, too. You know, but I mean, I think in a way, I mean, what you're seeing is other countries that don't trust us to share information. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about that really the entire intelligence apparatus and how it's been set up.
That's insane.
Since the 1940s, essentially, is in danger now because there's all sorts of allies of ours that don't trust Trump and figure anything they tell him is going to get back to Putin and whoever else, you know, and they're not going to share things with him. So that's on one end. On the other end, where a lot of these guys would have held their tongue about things and not insulted our leader publicly, he's already insulted all of them publicly. And I think they just, you know, they've gotten sick of his act already. So you've already had, I don't know if it's Angela Merkel herself, but top German politicians have ripped into him. Top French politicians have. I mean, in a way that you've never seen before. Very little. I mean, there may have been somebody here and there who said something about George W. Bush. I don't remember. And, of course, Netanyahu did what he did to Obama. I'm not saying it's never happened, these kinds of breaks of protocol, but it's everywhere right now. So, I don't know. I mean, again, this guy's a disaster. We knew he was going to be a disaster. I have very little sympathy for people who now are suddenly shocked and that he's acting like this. You either weren't paying attention or you were paying attention and were letting other considerations, of which I don't understand, override the common sense of saying you really had to vote for whoever you could to prevent him from getting into office, because he is uniquely, you know, to have gotten to the position he got to, which was the Republican nominee, was, you know, uniquely unqualified emotionally, intellectually, really in every way to be president of the United States. It was a clear and present danger, and I just don't see how some people didn't see that.
Well, on the other hand, 20% of his voters said, I'm voting for Donald Trump because of the Supreme Court, and I cannot imagine a scenario where those voters would have gotten something more or better. I mean,
yep.
I think Gorsuch is a... by all accounts, a very strong nominee for, you know, if you are into that whole idea of having a government that basically functions like the one we did in the, I guess, the teens of the 20th century.
And that may be pushing it a bit. I mean, if you sort of, when you imagine American government, if you sort of picture the beginning of Little House on the Prairie, so if we can all sort of go to schools up on the hill and be taught Christian values and, you know, start dressing like that again, maybe all become farmers again.
As long as there's a monopoly by the train, you know, the guys who own
exactly.
the trains, then I think we're
back
all
when
be
everything
fine.
Was innocent, except for instead of who's ripping you off today, it was the trains, and it was still mining companies back then. They've had a nice long run and other interests. Yeah, I mean, what do you say? I mean, everybody says that he supposedly is a man of integrity and this and that and the other thing, and maybe he is. I mean, but you can be a person of integrity and have really stupid ideas.
We should say also, let me take this opportunity to say, yesterday we reported that he had a club in college, high school, called the Forever Fascists. And apparently they did, but it was supposedly a joke club.
Well, you know, I often make jokes where I'm about 50% serious and 50% joking.
You know,
I think you're probably the same way.
Right. Well, he's kidding on the square is what...
Yeah, the joke, but in a way, it wasn't a joke.
Well, it was supposedly a joke to mock liberals. And I think, like...
Oh, right.
You know, that is... Hold on. Kelly wants to come in with a... Further clarification.
It was a joke that toward his classmates who kept calling him a fascist.
Right. So, for whatever reason.
I wonder why they called him that. I'm sure there was no good reason, right? I mean.
That was just because he liked to wear those high leather boots. And so.
I just wanted to make
that clear. But, I mean, here, you know, but the point is that I think. I mean, where are you on whether or not the Democrats should filibuster? Because there is some, not a lot, frankly, of dissent over the idea that the Democrats shouldn't use their filibuster now because they may need it if there's a Ginsburg replacement or a Breyer replacement.
Yeah, here's the thing. When only you know that only one side is willing to respect something, it doesn't really exist. I mean, and that's the reason why, you know, I get there's two things that so what I guess
in other words, you need two to tango, and if you don't have two that are tangoing,
then
you
tangoing
have, don't
is
have
out.
A tango.
You cannot self tango.
There you
as
go.
As far as I know, and so in this particular case. If you know that the filibuster is only there until the Republicans decide they don't want it to be there anymore, then it's not really there.
Right.
I mean, so to me, let's just get rid of it because you know they're not going to respect it. When it comes right down to it, this is why the Democrats have been played for fools again and again and again, because it's been more important for them to behave properly and have comedy and follow, you know, past norms. And I believe, I've had this said many times, but I believe very much in that stuff. I think norms, well beyond our actual laws and our culture, norms hold a democracy together. But history has proven again and again that when one side starts completely ignoring them and the other side still acts like they exist, you know, the side that has to be, that tries to be above it all, will get crushed.
Right.
I mean, we sometimes don't realize, you know, that the vortex that we're sort of caught in here, and we don't step outside for a second and say, you know, we've had two, in less than two decades now, we've had two elections where Democrats who were elected were not allowed to become president, where the popular vote gave us a presidency. I mean, when you think about Bush only barely winning in 2004, we theoretically could have controlled things since 2000, and this could be an entirely different country right now. But so these guys keep finding ways to ignore the will of the majority of the people. They already are set up so that you know, when they're Senate seats, they can win like something like 28 or 30% of the popular vote and still control the Senate. So I mean, because they're getting two senators from every little pissant state. My apologies to pissant states.
Right.
So you know what? I mean, it's already set up in that way, and they take further advantage of that. There was a year left. They based their whole theory on some something ridiculous, which is what Joe Biden got up and said in 1992 in his speech, that during the heat of an election, we should be careful about who we put on the Supreme Court. Why did Joe Biden say that? Because there had been a very contentious Supreme Court proceedings for Clarence Thomas not that much earlier. That was part A, the context of what he said. Part B, which is the part that the Rush Limbaughs and all the rest of them leave out, was the part where he said, as long as George H.W. Bush is willing to consult with us and put somebody moderate on the court, then absolutely we'd be willing to consider them. Well, guess what? That's what Merrick Garland was.
And we should also note that George H. Herbert Walker Bush was running for re-election.
That's right. That's a good point, too. So I mean, what Biden said there, they've taken half of a statement completely out of context and turned that into some sort of rule that never existed before, especially when you consider the fact that Kennedy was put on during the last year. Anthony Kennedy was put on in 87. So that's one thing. Second of all, it doesn't matter in the end. I mean, what we've learned is they'll just ignore things
right
the moment it's inconvenient. I mean, Joe Biden, anyhow, was talking in June, by the way, like literally 5 months before an election. The nomination came up in March. The Republicans had not even picked their nominee yet. So all this stuff's ridiculous. They stole a nominee. They're going to get rid of the filibuster the moment they want to get rid of it for whatever it is. Make them get rid of it.
Yep.
You know, make Mitch McConnell have to explain why he's getting rid of it, why he's, you know, and maybe that'll make no difference. But in the end, at least we won't have this sort of false, you know, thing that people can hide behind and pretend that the filibuster actually exists when it really only exists at the pleasure of Mitch McConnell. So To me, keep the damn guy off the court.
So let's look.
They want to put him on. Let him finally do what they should do.
I'm with you, and I think the Democrats are there, at least 40 of them or 41. So let's look a little forward here. By ends week of next week, I think we're going to see most of Trump's cabinet seated. I think Secretary of Labor. We may not have a Secretary of Labor until like April or May.
That's better in a Republican administration. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm totally down with that. I hope we don't
labor
fill
status
any...
quo right. is as good as it gets.
Indeed,
this administration.
So we're now going to move into a phase, and maybe we have one more week of this, where I think we're going to see a little bit less executive action. I mean, we're still going to see this on the foreign policy level, I think. And I think what we're going to start to see is far more legislative action going forward. Now, yesterday, Trump reversed, in addition to sort of vowing to assault Dodd-Frank, reversed a rule that Obama put in place via executive order, I think, or it wasn't executive order. It was basically an SEC rule that financial advisors have to, by regulation, be working in your best interest when you hire them, which is almost a joke to have to say, but for a long time.
You think this would be common sense?
I mean, financial advisors did not have to tell you that they had that. They were pushing you into stocks that they were betting for or against. They did not have to tell you that they may have investments that are inverse to yours or where your investments are relevant to the value of their investments anyway. None of this had to happen. I mean, and now, of course, it does. The other regulation that they have rolled back using the Congressional Review Act.
I think I know which one you're coming with.
Yeah.
That one, that's a brilliant one they rolled back. The gun one?
Yes.
So, yeah, for people that don't know
what
one was.
Explain what it is, and then we're going to play a clip of John Barrasso explaining why they did it. So just explain what it is first.
So what this is that for those who are collecting, this is through the Social Security Administration, those collecting their Social Security checks, if someone is too mentally ill to even handle their own affairs, which means they're so mentally ill they can't actually receive their check, sign it, and put it in the bank, that somebody needs to handle their affairs for them, there's only 75,000 people on that list, but they're all people that are severely mentally ill. They're flagged, so they are not allowed to get guns if they have to go through a background check. But that clearly was too onerous, and you know, NRA invested huge in Trump early on when everyone thought Trump was going to lose. So sadly, they're coming to get their payback now and launch an assault. And so, you know, apparently people who are too mentally ill to cash a paycheck should be able to get a gun.
Here is Barrasso, Representative Barrasso, with absolutely no explanation for this. And they're really, I mean, honestly, I mean, could there be?
These are the areas that give it away.
Understand, these are people receiving disability. Yeah, disability checks. Here it is. Listen to the argument. Yep.
About what's going on with gun control and in the House. There's just been this measure to lift a gun control restriction that will now allow people with severe mental illness to get their hands on guns. How does that make sense?
Well, I don't look at that this way. You know, I'm a strong proponent of our Second Amendment rights. You know, it's interesting. This was a rule that President Obama came out with in December, long after he was a lame duck president. If this is something he was so committed to, you would have thought sometime in the previous 8 years he might have come out with such a regulation.
Well, sure,
but he just came out with it in December.
I mean, but what about the substance of it? I mean, why allow, if there's one point of agreement, bipartisan point of agreement, that everyone... has said, from gun enthusiasts to gun control activists, it's keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. This sounds like it would make it easier for them to get their hands on guns.
Well, I don't view that way at all. I look at this from the standpoint, this is going up against Social Security and people who get Social Security checks, people who make financial decisions, and is putting the Social Security Administration in a point where they would then be determining who is reported in ways in terms of our Second Amendment rights.
What?
As I understand it, it involves 75,000 people with mental disorders so severe that they cannot work, and that they have someone else manage their Social Security benefits. How does it make sense to let them have guns?
Well, this is a new change by President Obama, a midnight regulation on his way out the door. It should be subject to a full debate, discussion, and the House has voted on it yesterday and voted to repeal that rule.
If someone has a mental illness so severe that they cannot work, should they be able to have a gun?
Well, the question is somebody able to have a gun at the same time they're receiving Social Security disability benefits?
Okay.
And you can take a look at how those decisions are being made.
Disability,
but up until last month, for
illness,
seven, eight years of President Obama's term, it was fine. And how to come out with a midnight regulation at this point that maybe even members of his own party don't support seems like just another thing that President Obama has done while leaving the White House to try to gum up the works as he leaves.
Senator, are you comfortable with somebody having a mental disability and having a gun?
You can take a look at what the Constitution says, which is what I do as a physician who spent lots of time working with patients with all different backgrounds.
All different backgrounds.
Right. You know, so there's the thing I've always found most...
I'm sorry. Well, there's no substantive argument that they are making.
But Obama did it at midnight, and he's black. So what are you talking about? I mean, that's basically the response. He's a black president, and they're trying to get, like, maybe they're trying to go old school, go back to, remember, midnight basketball?
Right.
I don't know. You know, it's whatever. It speaks for itself. Whenever I've said this stuff, I think that there's reasonable debates that can be had, you know, about, I even think an issue that I feel pretty strongly on, which is that assault weapons are weapons of war and shouldn't be on our streets. But you know what? I can understand if Republicans want to have that argument and say, well, if you've had a background check and you aren't mentally ill and dangerous and you're not a criminal, we should have a right to that. You can take that side of an argument. I think it's wrong, but the thing they always give away is when they refuse to do background checks, when they refuse to require people to report lost and stolen guns, when they refuse to require dealers to report their inventory to make sure guns aren't going out the back door, you know, when they refuse to have a national standard around gun trafficking to make sure people aren't straw purchasing for others who would otherwise be unable to buy them, these are all the things that give the game away. That it's not about the Second Amendment or anything like that, which Second Amendment has nothing to do, by the way, with any of this. It's all about the fact that, you know, lost guns can be resold also, and guns that fall out of the back of a truck can be sold at a gun show because there's no background checks, and there's all sorts of ways for people to make extra money, and that's who the NRA is protecting.
Yeah, midnight, though.
Midnight can do things.
Midnight,
you know?
It's midnight, Obama, midnight. And
that's
so,
what he could have just done. Is why did he take the time for all those words in between?
Really,
Obama...
Stunning.
Midnight.
Really
Obama,
stunning. And you know what?
Years,
she started
late.
Off. Here's just one thing that also drives me crazy these days. Allison Camerota started off with, if there's one thing that we could all agree on, and it's like, guess what?
We don't all agree.
The idea that the argument between the two parties is about how to fix problems, that is... Maybe there was a time where that was the case, but the argument is no longer about how do we fix problems. The argument is we do not even recognize the same problems.
That is such an important point. I mean, it's not that we don't recognize the same problems. It's that some of us adhere to science, which tells us these problems exist. In many cases, they're obvious and they're right in front of us, but we still adhere to science, which says something.
Well, but even aside from science, I mean, the bottom line is, even if I want to take the most generous view of this, that what people have to understand is that there is no agreement about the problems in society. There's just no, there's no fundamental agreement. And even when you start getting into the weeds, there's no agreement. Neither.
Right. Well, there are people and groups with interests in those problems not being solved. And the Republican Party has gone from a party that used to want to solve those problems in a market-based way, with as little government intrusion, as they would say, as possible. We've talked again. So their solution to a health care crisis would be a lot of what Obamacare is now. Romney Care and the Heritage Foundation plan, the Dole response to Hillary Care way back when, which all looks a lot like what we have today. But then they decided they can't fix that problem anymore. They've got angry people on the right, and there's people benefiting and others that don't want anything done, so they can't do anything. Back when we all agreed, even as recently as 20, 30 years ago, that there are actual issues with the environment and climate change. There are some that said cap and trade. Those were on the right because they want to do it in a more market-based way. There are those of us who say that a carbon tax, and there are many things in between. But now they won't accept, and guns are much the same thing. There are those of us who say that back then, everybody actually, for the most part, there are people like Jesse Helms, that I'm not going to pretend they weren't some right-wing nuts, but the core of the Republican Party, your Chafees and Hatfields and, you know, even Lugers and Voinoviches and people like that who wanted to actually solve problems, said we need to protect, we believe people have the right to own firearms, but we need to do what we need to do to solve. So the majority of the Senate, in fact, I think it was 65 to 70 votes, maybe even over 70, voted in favor after Columbine of universal background checks. And it was killed in the House by, I can't remember if it was DeLay or Gingrich, but they killed it in the House and never let it go through. So it wasn't voted on. But, you know, Mitch McConnell voted for that universal background checks. So did Chuck Grassley. So did a number, so did Sam Brownback, you know, Mr. Right-Wing governor of Kansas, and a number of people who are still there, and many others who aren't. So to act like this was some sort of a controversy, it was not. But the NRA got a foothold and pushed further and further and got people who just were slaves to the NRA. And so it was no longer about we want to lessen gun violence and how can we best do it while protecting people's rights to own guns. It was, we don't want to lessen gun violence. We're going to pretend we're going to pay lip service. That's just like we're going to pay lip service to we want people to have health care and we won't let anybody fall off of health care. But in the end, we don't really want to solve any of that. So it's just, we're just going to say what we need to say.
Maybe if the left would actually move a little bit to allowing more guns, the NRA wouldn't have to fill that vacuum with having a lot of guns. Or maybe if the left had done something like did a public-private partnership to provide insurance, then you'd get into that and fill that vacuum, and they wouldn't.
That is definitely true. We only reached out more. Go ahead. Sorry, Kelly.
Cliff, I'm wondering what your reaction to these type the segment with Camerata is, considering that, I mean, I find it frustrating to watch them, and I know much less than you on this issue, because it's the number of people that they're talking about is so small compared to what it really should be, because the background check systems don't work, the reporting systems don't work, NICS doesn't work. The fact that they're even having this argument where she's trying to get somebody to admit that ideologically or just pragmatically that it's good for that everyone can agree on it is so pointless, because he knows that in practice it's pointless to even have an argument about it, because it doesn't work. And if you're mentally ill, you can get a gun if you want to. You just can.
So here's what I would say. She's giving him cover, which is to me terrible, by even saying, well, we can all agree. So she's starting off by making him seem reasonable instead of saying, why don't you agree with this? Why is it that we've tried to pass universal background checks this many times to make sure people who are mentally ill cannot buy guns, and every single time you guys have opposed it? And so, or at least every single time in the last 15 years, that would be something worthy of saying. The next thing I would say, though, is I'll disagree with you on this only in that, look, with any public health problem, even if you prevent one or two people from buying guns who are going to go out and commit harm, then you've accomplished something. And the sort of the metaphor I always try to use and what I try to explain to people you know, even though only at this point, what, 18 states require universal background checks, you can't imagine the number of people who are stopped from buying guns. I mean, I hate to say this, but I just sort of have to. Many people are just, they're not geniuses. We act like bad guys are geniuses. Our example I always use is the first World Trade Center bombing, when they unraveled the whole thing and caught these guys, because one of the guys decided after they blew up their van and in one of the towers that they should get their $150 deposit back and claim it was stolen.
Yeah.
They went back to the place after to get their van back, to get their $150 back. This is how the beginnings of Al-Qaeda were caught. So, and I can't tell you how many times I see this with these guys, guys who should never walk into a place and submit themselves to a background check. They do. So as it's a public health problem, my answer always is, would I want universality? Absolutely. But every time another state, like New Mexico is in the process, it looks like right now, of adding, I mean, we'll have to see what the governor there does, who's a Republican, but the state legislature looks like he's going to support background checks. Well, any time you add a new state to that, you probably prevent a couple people who shouldn't have them from getting their hands on guns, and statistics will tell you that then there'll be fewer suicides, there'll be fewer homicides, there'll be fewer accidental shootings. So even 75,000 people is small, but if it's your family member who gets killed by one of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let me add this too. I mean, the reason why they're fighting, the reason why they undo this is simply because there is the way that legislation like this gets passed, ultimately, the way you get to more comprehensive background checks, the way you get to more bans is through a very linear process more often than not, right? So, like, you're not going to get the expansion of background checks without first having that
agreed upon standard kind of.
Well, I'm saying that the next time we go to sort of like contract who's eligible to get a gun, we're going to have to relitigate this. So, you know, we just basically are one step lower on the rung on the ladder to the top of where we want to get to. And that's why. I mean, so many of these fights are fought for precedent. And they're not about what is actually in front of you. It is about the larger framework. But Cliffy, we're going to have an opportunity to do this again next week. Hopefully we won't have as many things to cover.
Let's pray. While we're praying for Arnold Schwarzenegger's ratings, let's also pray.
I mean, I'll tell you something. You know, I keep saying this every week, like, but if I had an extra $10 million, I'd set up an organization tomorrow to get every single Nielsen family in the country to watch The Apprentice. Just to fuck
oh my God, what I would do around that. That's so true. I'd pay all of them to not watch things that Trump is on.
Fortunately, we've got a huge Hollywood star coming up next who has the ability.
Who's that?
Andy Kindler.
He is a star. I know that guy. I met him once.
To push this. But all right, Cliffy.
Shook my hand.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right, folks.
I Love Lucy has become a total disaster. It used to be funny, but now it's just sad. So let's all have a prayer for Ricky Ricardo, who's doing a terrible job. And we all know that. By the way, where's Pierre Salinger? Where is he? He's doing a great job.
I read something.
Very sad to see.
I read something last night. That said, I'm sorry. That said that. The reason that Trump is so, I mean, it's to drum up ratings. It is his show. He's the producer. But that he wanted Ivanka to replace him and Schwarzenegger got it instead. The producers didn't want Ivanka. And so now he just hates Schwarzenegger.
Very sad that Ivanka and those incredible legs are not on The Apprentice.
You know, there could be something to that because if you break down... Well, there could be something to the Ivanka thing, because if you break down the what he was saying, he was talking to Burnett. So clearly Burnett did not listen to him about something, right?
He threatened him.
Well,
he said, threatened Burnett.
Next time, you're not going to bet against Trump. And I think for Trump, it was like, I want Ivanka there because I want it to be a Trump property. Yeah, he's a psycho. But that's, if it was just that, like if it was just, President Trump's fantastic, except for that one little tick he has about
Bob Hope got swamped or destroyed in the ratings.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Andy Kindler. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest may be the only person who devolves into Twitter, meaningless Twitter wars more than myself, although this week I may have beat him. And so much so that Jimmy Reefercake sat down and penned this song.
With a Jew like Andy Kindler, you know you can't go wrong. His ancestors wrote the God Bless America song. A true Obama bot. And he believes Obama can never be wrong. Yeah, Andy Kindler.com. You made me laugh so hard. I had to write you your own theme song, Andy Kindler.
Yeah.
Wow. I had no
idea. You didn't think I had those pipes?
I had no idea.
You didn't know?
I had no idea.
Last comic standing singer? Standing? You didn't see me on last singing comic? Singing standing?
No, I did. I had no idea. No idea.
You didn't, America's Got, you didn't see me on America's Got Stand Up to Sing?
No, I had I had no idea. That's what I...
You, how long could I go with this bit, you think?
I've seen things go much longer.
I'm on, baby. I'm on today. Forget about it. I'm bringing that one back. I just watched Donnie Brasco again.
All right, let me ask you this. We've got a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
And we could start
We have
with,
a lot in our docket.
We have so much to get to. A lot in the docket.
Yeah.
First off, tonight is going to be a little bit, I think, I'm going to just make a guess that tonight you are going to, so much to take away your phone because of Sam Harris showing up on Bill Maher's show.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I made a rule that I was going to watch, but I have not watched Bill Maher in a year and a half. I've read some recaps, but is he going to unpack it for me again? Is he going to unpack it like he did from Ben Affleck? Let me unpack it for you, Ben. Let me unpack it for you as a neuroscientist who I don't even know how would you even judge if I'm a good neuroscientist? But let me unpack it for you, Ben. Islam is the mother load of bad ideas. But then don't tell me I'm an Islamophobe later.
It's the mother load of bad ideas.
Okay, I'm here to discuss a book on meditation. I don't even want to be talking about this. It's totally unfair. It's not like I would have ever even gotten booked on Bill Maher to write some dull, rambling, mediocre intro to meditation if I didn't spend the bulk of my career demonizing Muslims and justifying torture. Wait, out of context.
Nazism.
You know what's more, nothing Nazism. More inspiring.
Not so much a mother load, just a bad idea. But Islam. That was a bad, that was a mother load of bad ideas.
Let me unpack it. Let me push back on it for you, Ben Affleck. Let me back it up. Let me back up the Brinks truck for you.
How many different blog posts that lead to a link to his podcast that lead back to his Weebly page where he sells books? Do you think will be generated out of the misunderstandings of what he said tonight, what he says tonight on Bill Maher's show?
Doesn't he always threaten to sue people, too? Those people drive me nuts. I don't even know what the word libel or slander means.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, I got to get a thesaurus. I got to get a legal book.
Okay, that's totally unfair and misleading. You have taken me out of context again, which is just totally intellectually disgraceful.
Even though I said motherload of bad ideas, that means nothing in and of itself.
What you need to do is you need to drop the M, then rearrange that with the L. It's uploads of global ideas, but...
other loads?
It's great because his actual ideas, like, it couldn't be more simple. It's like, okay, just watch 24. You're good.
I'm a white man who hates religion. Why don't you read my interpretation of the Quran? I'm a white man who, going in, had a point of view that I was going to fit all the facts
prove. Quran, thousands of years old. I don't speak Arabic. I have no training in understanding it. I've never read or understood the divisions in Islam or the commentaries. I totally get it. Easy to understand.
But I do say haditha.
Oh, right. No. I'm quoting from the hadith.
I'm quoting from the hadith.
In White Noise by Don DeLillo, the novel, I think it's from the 80s or 90s, there's a Hitler expert that it feels a constant sense of shame because he can't speak German. And so he never can understand anything Hitler
actually
says. I don't
think Sam Harris feels that shame.
No.
Maybe if the Muslims would have answered some of the questions during the Inquisition, we wouldn't be where we are now. They didn't like to be inquired.
I love this virulent atheist who has made most of his speaking engagements literally from the brotherhood of large synagogues that to justify their Islamophobia. That's basically been his business.
What's great too? There's nothing better than atheist meditations. All right, clear your mind. Don't let anything special come in. If you see a light, just say that it's probably an optical illusion. But clear your mind. Think nice things, but don't think too nice things. Who would take meditation from that? Come up with a negative word for him.
That guy.
Yeah, finally.
Carnival
Sam,
Barker.
Finally.
Honestly, I think he's a huckster. I really do. I mean, I don't know that he knows it, but I'm also starting to look back and say, like, I wonder if, like, the snake oil salesman, when they came to town, if they really knew, if they didn't think that, like, this stuff actually works.
It was actually an absolutely devastating misrepresentation of the snake oil that I was selling. And if you want to understand my snake oil, you need to buy another vat of snake oil to be used in conjunction with the other snake oil that you distorted.
Did you ever, I don't know if you guys have ever heard Larry Elder. He's a horrible man.
Yes.
But did you know who he
in
is?
In fact, not only do I know who he is, back when I was in showbiz and spending some time out in California, I would listen to Larry Elder's show, and I met him in 2004 at the RNC, and we were sitting down, he and I and Janine, and his whole thing was like, leave it on the field. And Janine and I were just like, what? What do you mean? And he's like,
showbiz.
Leave it on the field. I mean, we're just here, like people. And I'm like, and both Janine and I almost had to hold each other back from like launching across, like, leave it on the field. You mean this is just a fucking game for you, you moron?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you cheerlead a war where hundreds of thousands of people are dying? It's just a game? Are you serious? And then,
you know, he had a series of pictures like a couple weeks ago about like a woman who were saying about, you know, during the Women's March, like basically he would show women he didn't think were attractive. And he's like, don't worry, you won't be sexually bothered.
Oh, did he really do that?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like,
he's keeping up with the new era. I like
yeah, yeah,
that.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it. One way he goes, I wouldn't worry about it, madam.
So like during the Bush era, he was probably like, we need to just have the left is so angry. No one has any decency of discourse right. anymore. Trump era, hey, don't worry about it. You're 3.5.
Right. You would look at all the fours worried about getting molested.
Yeah. Yeah, no, oh you're not attractive enough for someone to sexually assault. Oh,
what did you get, plastic surgery for rape prevention, honey? Oh!
Everybody knows sexual assault is based on how attractive people are. And
it's a great
point,
Andy.
If you're lucky enough to be beautiful, then you should carry a gun.
Oh, God.
I'll move on you like a bitch.
So wait.
I made the mistake of unmuting Dave Rubin, the Dave Rubin report.
Wait, what do you mean you unmuted him? What, where was
dude,
it?
Dude, that guy is maybe the dumbest person on the face of the planet.
What are they doing?
I had blocked him for years. No, I blocked
oh,
him.
Oh, unmuted
him
on Twitter. On Twitter. Twitter. Okay, yeah.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. And what is this new thing where you have Glenn Beck? You know, Glenn Beck is a racist. We all know that. And during the Facebook Chicago killings, he blamed the Facebook Chicago killings on Black Lives Matter. Why is anybody interviewing this?
Well, Dave
racist?
Rubin is not bright, and also, you know, there are people who out there they find like what is going to build their show. The left is no longer liberal.
Yeah, regressive. You're regressive, Sam. Stop being regressive.
I am so regressive. But
Neil, isn't your name Neil Liberal?
Dave Rubin is like, I mean, he's there to make Sam Harris look, in fact, brilliant. And what's ironic is that for all of us who always get accused, I actually have tortured myself by genuinely reading some Sam Harris. I've watched Dave Rubin talk, and I honestly think he's too dumb to have actually read any of Harris's books. He's a stupid guy.
I love celebrating how stupid. You know, I used to not be able. I used to talk to a comedian. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but there's a really brilliant comedian, and I don't remember his name. But he explained to me how all these words like stupid and idiot and moron, they all come from an IQ tests, imbecile. So you really shouldn't be. So for a long time, I tried not to use them anymore because they were based on, you know, pinhead. But now I can't stop. And I can't stop. I'm back on the stupid bus.
Dave Rubin's like, he seems like some kid like preening at a bar mitzvah or something. I don't know.
You know what?
Is there money?
You know what's a big tell for me is how much sort of advertising and, you know, Rubin just had his, you go like four tweets down on him and it's like, we just cracked our highest one day as subscriber adders ever. And let's look at, I mean, look at, he's got, okay, well, he's got Sam Harris and Glenn Beck and Milo Yiannopoulos are all on the top of his thing. He's the liberal. There's John McCain. unbelievable.
How about this thing with I've heard Anderson Cooper say this. I've heard the media say this. You gotta give Trump credit. He's following through on his campaign promises. You have to give Hitler credit. He said he was going to round up the Jews.
Idi Amin said that he would eat his opponents,
well,
and
you know
he has
amazing,
done that.
You know what's amazing, though, is that where is
Anderson Cooper rich? But,
well,
is that his problem?
If Anderson Cooper is going to, if people are going to actually judge him on his promises, you know, the pharmaceuticals, the drugs, the cheaper drugs was a big issue.
Right.
That he seems to have completely walked away from. Day one, where's the repeal of Obamacare? Where's our better version of Obamacare? I want to know about that. Where's that? He didn't say anything about putting Goldman Sachs people. He was anti-Goldman Sachs. Where's that from? I mean, it's not that assessment that he's actually doing what he said he was going to do. I'm not so clear on that.
And what didn't he say? He said everything, didn't he?
It's true.
You know, oh, yeah. Well, not, I mean, it doesn't have to be a ban. It could be a ban. I'm going to put women in jail if they get an abortion. Which statement are you going by?
Where's the wall? Where's Mexico's offer to pay for the wall? I want to know. I got to pay for the. I got to loan money to Mexico now to build a wall I didn't want?
Don't worry about these. Hey, look, don't worry about the phone calls, everybody. Don't worry about it. Look, just let me handle it.
Unbelievable. All right. Well,
that was my Trump impression.
I heard it.
Do you know he's going to be down at the Holocaust Museum today complaining about specific primaries that he thought he should have won?
And you know, it's Seinfeld's response to that will be, right? You can't make gay jokes about French royalty on college campuses anymore. People are worried about Steve Bannon.
Why can't my gay French king joke work? Who are these people who don't like my gay impression?
People are worried about Steve Bannon. Meanwhile, college students don't think Louis the 14th buying soft paper napkins is funny anymore. What has the world come to?
What's the deal with Louis the 15th through the 18th?
Andy.
Yeah.
Dennis Miller apparently is still alive. And here he is. It's Miller time again on O'Reilly Factor. This time, what did they do? They did some type of sit down. It wasn't like a classic Miller time where he shows up. They actually met and sat down across from each other. I don't know. Is Dennis Miller divorced? He just strikes me. I don't know.
Yeah, does he call him Billy?
I love
when he calls him Billy O'Reilly.
Well,
that's really
Dennis Miller calls him Billy O'Reilly, and then Bill calls him the D man.
The D man.
So A man. Just sit back and let me just A man check this out.
Thanks, Sam Withers and Bill O'Reilly in the Miller Time segment. Let's get right to the sage of Southern California, who's in Southern California this evening. Here we are, Miller.
Billy, what a beautiful room you're staying in. Bill actually sleeps right here in the room.
Nice.
You can see he brought his good luck elephant bong out from back east.
Thailand.
Hard copy, first editions of Killing Everybody and His Mother. Beautiful, Billy. Beautiful.
All right, let's pause it for a second.
Funny stuff.
So Bill O'Reilly's taking a trip. He's heading out to California, get a little bit of sun, and he's in his backup studio. And then Dennis Miller does the old, I'm going to start off my routine tonight by talking about the fake stuff on the wall. We were doing that back at the Catch a Rising Star like 1987, I think it was.
It's great to be here tonight at the Holiday Inn. You look at the sign.
Okay, here we go.
Deep thinker, Miller. Most people think you're a shallow showbiz guy, but that's not true. You're a deep thinker. And you know we have this divide in America, and you've come up with a way to solve it,
I do my part. It's appropriate you're here in L.A. because the red and the blue states are now probably as balkanized as the Crips and the Bloods, quite frankly.
I get it.
It hasn't gotten violent. It's not near a civil war, but you have to admit it's probably
it's
the
intense.
Most pronounced I've seen
Absolutely.
It in my lifetime. Right. And I was thinking, well, we don't really hate each other. Some people do, but I think most people, and we all have people we love or good friends on the other side of this discourse. I think it's just like we can still be friends, but we can't live together anymore. So I came up with an idea for the country to break up. And I got this from the great scholar, the Pliny the Elder of the modern masses, Gwyneth Paltrow, when her and her husband Chris Martin from Coldplay broke up. They called it a conscious uncoupling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might be time for a conscious uncoupling. Now, I put together some artwork, Billy.
Right.
It might be time to,
let's pause
it
for a second. I just want to pause for 1 second to just contemplate the idea that Dennis Miller's come up with the idea that we should break up the country according to politics. Like, this is a very profound
It's a novel idea. Can I also just make one other observation? Miller is so out of date that even his, vaguely modernist. Well, Blood and Crips is totally out of date, but like The Gwyneth Paltrow thing is also like that's his version of up to date. That's like happened several years ago.
Right.
Why isn't he doing with the men are from Mars and the women are from Venus?
Yeah, exactly.
Go that far back.
What about when Kylie Minogue broke up with her? Okay, let's go.
What about when Iron John had the man thing in the foreign? Yeah.
Now,
Robert
listen,
Blind.
I mean, I've been trying to hold back on this, but we're in Southern California as they talk about this. Dennis Miller lives in Southern California. Bill O'Reilly lives in the New York. So we're looking at two coastal elites who literally, right, like, they live in California or New York. They're both in media.
Spend their days getting makeup put on their face.
They're both sitting there with makeup with, like, these tans. Both have dye jobs. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, like, what? Let's just continue on. I just want to just put that down.
Dennis Miller
lives in the richest city, I think, in the country.
Right, here we go.
Santa Barbara.
There's some artwork, Billy. Right. It might be time to, Billy, you know, pick albums, who gets the dog, Billy, and split up. I think we need two border
Pause it.
Walls. I think.
Let me just remind people that
Sammy,
splitting up the albums was probably something you did 25 to 35 years ago.
I think it might be time for a conscious uncoupling. Now, I put together some artwork, Billy. Right. It might be time to, you know, pick albums, who gets the dog, and split up. I think we need two border walls. I think that there's a West Coast and an East Coast, and then there's in the middle. I would make that country on the left, you see, California, Washington, and Oregon, and then open it up to Mexico, too. Let them max out and call it Mexico. You've got that country over there. Then up in the right-hand side, you have the bubble. That's where all the Northeast Corridor, yeah, where all the intellectuals live. Call that the bubble. Then you might want to put something around Chicago, maybe a little mini wall there. But underneath, I was listening to Elon Musk, the Tesla guy this week. Smart guy.
The Tesla
said he
guy.
Thinks we should start making the infrastructure tunnels. And I thought, why not build an Arnold Schwarzenegger Running Man pneumatic tube that shoots between the two coasts so people can go back and forth and exist in Mexico or the bubble and just go underneath. You stop in Chicago
you're
like
horrible,
the old 20th century
Dennis.
Limited. Get
horrible.
Yourself
a pause it for 1 second. So Dennis Miller, what he's suggesting is that we create one of, I don't know, where would you put probably the GDP of the country that he's leaving there? Somewhere be down like, to like some like.
Let's create a third world country in the middle,
yeah,
in the middle of the United States with low GDP somewhere around the size of northern Baghdad.
And the good news is, basically, what you'll have is just the oil fields and then a huge dust bowl.
There'll be a huge dust bowl, but of course we'll move there because we're tired of these coastal elites. I'm sure that my Pliny the Elder Gwyneth Paltrow material will go down great at the coal miners' bar. Get the fuck out of here.
I hang out
hey,
with
Billy,
so many of my buddies over in
pool.
Appalachia. All right, let's continue.
And then you connect to your part of the country. Then you and I, no, maybe not you. I can't speak for you. You're fair and balanced. But the rest of us are in the middle in a place called Norman Rockwellvania, where it's like the old world.
Pause it. Now, what? Now, here's a question. Why don't you just fucking move there right now?
What's stopping you?
Oh, because I can't go because of, I can't get a visa. What? Go! Move! Move to Norman Rockville, wherever
it's
you
so
want
to
go.
It's so hard to get property in rural Indiana. Until then, I'm just hang out in Santa Barbara, biding my time to get out of this nightmare.
Can you imagine people living in that town who are just going like, oh, fuck, here comes that Dennis Miller again. Jesus Christ. I wish I lived in a bigger city so I didn't have to see him so much.
Was that supposed to be a historical reference to make that other reference funny? I'm sorry, sir. I don't understand.
Mr. Miller, could you explain to us again?
This guy in the front row's got the sword of Damocles hanging over him.
Could you explain to us again what tribbles are?
Well,
it's
the
like voyage to the bottom of the sea meets my mother, the car.
The General Storm is like the holodeck on the Next Generation episode 3 when it wasn't working and the Kleons came up from the Borg ship. Bada bing.
Okay, Mr. Miller, if you can please leave now. Gotta go back to stocking shelves.
Oh my God.
And I'm sorry, did you say
you
wanted a large Coke without Whopper or okay?
He sounds happy too. That's the thing. You know, he normally sounds completely defeated. Like if you listen to, I think, is his radio show over now?
I don't know.
But on his radio show, he would do these commercials for like right wing products. And one of them is called Smart Mouth. Like, you know, a mint, like Smart Mouth. And he just sounded like he was going to die the next, right after the commercial.
Is there more to this? Let's play. Let's play just a little bit more. I'm just curious where they're going to go.
It's so good.
This is too good.
Manna. Oh, manna from heaven. Manna from heaven.
Beautiful Santa Barbara.
Oh, somehow I'd pry myself out. That would be one of the things that everybody would have to pick where they want to go.
Yeah,
and let the other countries do their thing.
Right.
And then Mexico could be back part of the United States.
I have to leave Long Island. See,
this is the part. He has to bring in like this sort of vague racism, like, well, Mexico will be in there. And so if you still want to stay in San Bernardino, which of course I will, I'd have to put up with the fact there'd be a lot of Mexicans around. Here we go.
Really? This is the most self-revelatory you've ever been about your politics.
I don't know if I'd have to leave, but if I'm there, if I stay on Long Island in the bubble country,
you can't stay.
They're going to kill me.
Yeah.
They'll hang me.
But this would be beautiful because they would get to raise taxes the way they want, spend the way they want.
Right.
Mm. We could have easy visa things where people could go across the borders to visit.
I don't think
so. Don't make it like the Brandenburg Gate. Make it easy. A day visit.
Okay. Brandenburg Gate. Brandenburg Gate.
Like Pennsylvania.
And everybody just splits up and then we all mellow out.
The liberal precincts, though, are much smaller than the traditional precincts.
They don't want anything to do with us. They hate us.
They
think we're rubes. They think we're idiots. I'm doing this out of a loving gesture. Let's split up before it gets really vile.
But do you think that the Mexifornia, is that at Mexifornia?
It's called Mexico. Mexico.
I like that
Mexico.
One. That was good.
Would
that
they
one was
be able
good.
To survive, though?
Would they be able to survive?
Everybody, every day I hear people say, no, we shouldn't have a border. It'll be good for us. And I think maybe they're right. Maybe
so
they're
let
right.
Them not have a border.
Washington, Oregon, Washington, you get an idiot like Jim McDermott's in charge. He would love Mexico.
Okay, but there'd be a huge war.
Congress.
Between
Washington.
All right, let's stop.
Oh my God, this is getting
so
exhausting.
But the idea, this is the classic conservative thing that you know, and we're going to hear more about this. Instead, they're going to, you know, we're going to lot less on actually what's going on in our government, much more about the culture war now. And the idea that these two guys, Dennis Miller has not lived in any place but those two bubble areas he's talking about for 45 years, probably.
Right.
I mean,
right. He was from Pittsburgh.
From Pittsburgh.
Time he's visited anything blue collar.
Of course. Which, of course, also went Democratic.
Right.
But Bill O'Reilly has gone from Long Island to Harvard back to Long Island in New York City. Both these guys are talking about, like, somehow there's these places that we live where we make our money.
In this new country, can you drag your wife down the fucking stairs? That's faggot, Bill O'Reilly.
Get down that pipe and get my pipe up.
It's so insulting to the people who they think they're trying to appeal to. Not that I care about those people, but they're trying to make it seem like they're like regular guys.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Totally regular guy. I had a private security force follow the cop that was banging my fucking whore wife. Then I dragged her down the stairs, and then I interviewed Donald Trump, where he emasculated me. The factor. It's the D-man.
I mean, Bill O'Reilly, I know, has always been a horrible man. But Dennis Miller, I mean, he must have no conscience or what?
Did you know him? Did you ever know him back then or no?
I did. He was always unpleasant. He was unpleasant to me. He was unpleasant to the Sklar brothers. He's been unpleasant. He's a horrible human being.
Wait, what do you mean he was unpleasant to the Sklar brothers? Why do you say the Sklar brothers?
Because the Sklar brothers booked Dennis Miller to play at their school, and they had heard that if you don't show up right at the gate, and so they showed up at the wrong gate, and they were 3 minutes late, and he screamed at them.
Oh, was this when they were in college?
Yeah, in University of Michigan.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
So apparently he's just an awful, I mean, you'd think he'd be nice, by the way, you hear him on the radio, but.
Well, I mean, he's such a fun guy. I mean, all right.
Did those guys think they were being funny then, right there?
That was a huge, that was the huge comedy segment.
Sometimes you're just in the zone, Billy boy.
You've got it, D-Man.
Sometimes you just are able to vaguely thread together unfunny scenarios with outdated references and indirect racism in a perfect concoction for 70-somethings that are still angry even though we finally have a white supremacist rapist president. Bada-bing.
D-Man, what do you got for us today? I've been working on this really great idea where we split the country up. But here's my twist on it. We're also going to put a wall around Chicago. Wow, you just blew my mind.
I see what you did there, D-Man. I see what you did. You're talking about the fucking bullies. Goodfellas reference.
He also has called him the Sage of Southern California. Now, that's going to drive Larry Elder crazy.
Oh, that's
his. But his thing is he's his the hook. Sage of that's South
his,
Central.
Whoa, that's his hook. Damn it.
Yeah, I'm the sage of South Central.
So Andy,
I don't know why I said that twice.
What else? So what else you got going on?
Well, all I can think of now is tonight, Bill Maher. I've not watched it, but I don't know. I'm going to probably have to watch that hideous show tonight.
Just so you can live tweet how these two guys get together and talk about how this Muslim ban. Listen, if you've got to tweet me if they talk about how this was set up by Obama. The ban, because that's the lie that's going around now that I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
But Maher won't buy into that though. Right. I mean, he's. But he does this thing about like he has these new conflations now. Like he said last week that what was the thing last week? We can't make fun of. The reason why Trump won is because we're upset about Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton mixing up the movies. That's why Trump won, because we're the politically correct stuff.
What?
What did Michael Keaton do?
Michael Keaton mixed up the two movies, missing. What was the movie about the woman in NASA, the math movie? Hidden Figures.
Oh, Hidden Figures.
So he mixed it up with Hidden Fences, and he apologized for it. And so Bill Maher was enraged. This is exactly why Trump won. We're all worried about that Michael Keaton mixed up two movies.
Wait, when did this happen?
No, that wasn't Michael Keaton. That was Jenna Bush.
What?
No. He said Michael Keaton. So
hey, Andy, can you do your Bill Maher impression
Jenna
for
Bush
me, please?
It was doing a red carpet thing, and she called it. I think I have this right. She called it Hidden Figures.
The idea.
That's what it's called.
Someone should go online.
And Jenna Bush should get locked in a pyramid for doing that, though.
I haven't heard. Not only have I not heard about that incident, I haven't even heard about those movies.
No, Hidden Figures is actually supposed to be very good.
I haven't heard about it.
Tonight on the show from the Lawrence Livermore Nuclear Laboratory, my old job.
I love Andy's Bill Maher.
My old job.
Okay. I also like, okay. Okay.
Okay. Meanwhile, Obama's in the Oval Office going, hello there. I'm from the 60s. I'm the black man from the 60s.
No, it's even worse. It's even that like, okay, why can't President Obama, who's great? He's great. Why can't he be Shaft?
Why can't he be the angry black guy?
Yeah, right.
Jenna Bush and Michael Keaton did the same thing.
Old Man River.
At the Golden Globes.
Well, that was actually Limbaugh's impression of Obama. Do you remember that?
Oh, no, I don't.
Limbaugh actually did do like, and then he's going to come out on TV and be like, hello, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Why
no,
Trump repealing my healthcare plans? Is it good for the people, sir?
How y'all doing?
As bees, President Obama's.
My name is Obama. Baba booba booba.
He did the whole Amos and Andy thing.
Yeah, he was like, and then he's going to come out on TV. And you know Anderson Cooper, and they love nothing more than talking to him. And he's going to go, hello, Wolf Blitzers. As very angry about the refugee ban.
You got to give him credit. Hitler said he'd round up the Jews, and he rounded up the Jews. You gotta give him credit, give him credit, give him credit.
It'd be funny if he said that while Blitzer was getting dragged off set.
Oh, my God.
But I kid the president. But I kid the thing. And I kid the thing.
Oh, my God.
I can't. I'm going to watch tonight.
All right.
I will watch tonight.
All right. Well, I want people to live tweet Andy's live tweeting of Bill Maher's show tonight. Oh, my God. No, it's probably it's the kind of break you need, right? I mean.
Well, I'm not going to watch the. I have to do. I'm actually working for a couple hours. So is there. I'm going to watch the West Coast feed, probably. I don't know.
All right. It's going to be.
I'm already canceling my live tweeting.
What are you. What are you doing in terms of. Did you purposely do a trash can sound there? That was just. Landed. So wait, are you going out and doing some stand up tonight? Wait, are you touring?
No, there's a show called Guy Branum is very funny. He has a show called The Talk Show, The Game Show. So I'm making money today. I'm actually making money.
Oh, you're recording. Business. You're recording a show.
Yeah,
TV
this
show.
Afternoon. People said it was over for me, and the chances of me working again were slim and none. That's what they said. And look what's happened.
No one said that.
I'm working
so wait,
this afternoon.
What else do you have? What else do you have going these days? Are you?
Well, I'm
going
to go up to the Griffith Observatory tonight. My old job. Oh, I have stuff to plug, Sam.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I have. They are going to be releasing. Comedy Dynamics is releasing the very first State of the Industry speech
Whoa.
That I did in 1996 as an audio download. Anyone still awake? Hello? And that's going to be out in a couple of weeks. And then I did a show called Coming to the Stage where I introduced new comics.
Mm.
And very exciting.
Wow.
Hulu.
And where is it? Hulu.
Something like that.
Hulu? Is that the type of thing you're doing now? All the Hulu
oh,
stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I have a deal with UPS Ground. That's for my show on UPS Ground, Sam.
I didn't
know
that.
And it's got a shipping element.
Everything's branded content now. Andy Kindler.
I just sold to the Rabbit Ear Network.
The Rabbit Ear? Well, hello there, Mr. Kindler. Thank you for the program.
Well, hello there, Kingfish. This isn't racist at all.
All right, whatever Andy. Happened to Amos and Andy? They were also doing a terrific job.
Terrific.
And Frederick Douglass and everyone else.
Andy Kindler, always a pleasure. Thank
Louis
you,
Armstrong is doing an amazing job. Who's with me on this?
I thought Louis Armstrong's recent addition was pathetic. We should be praying for him at the prayer breakfast.
Sam, I have one joke I wrote just for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, the joke is, they said that Donald Trump can't be executive producing The Apprentice while he has another job. That never stopped Dave Becky.
You don't know who Dave Becky is. It's a completely inside joke.
Andy likes to have the laugh.
I enjoyed that.
I love you guys.
See you later, Andy.
All right. Be cool. Thanks for having me on.
I'm also...
Thank you for coming on. Are you kidding? That was...
I was wishing you would
always a
be on.
He's
I was
gone.
Just wishing...
Already
you.
Already
I'm
already
damn
it. I'm also laughing in horror because The Guardian is reporting that the former Norwegian prime minister was held at Dulles Airport over a 2014 visit that he made to Iran.
There you go.
Oh, that's... I mean, let that sink in. That's...
All right, we're going to take a break, head into the fun half, wherein we will, have a little more fun.
We're already having fun.
Oh, God, so much fun.
We already had the fun. I feel like now we're just going to...
Now it's just going to be...
Now we're going to talk about the Bowling Green Massacre.
Just kidding,
it's getting nice and depressed.
It was
the
weekend. Show.
It was,
it was the
Bowling Green Massacre.
Really
it was a very sad thing. It was terrible. It was almost as sad as Arnold's ratings.
Oh my God.
By the way, if you look at NBC and what they have done, okay, it's got to be the new Obama. If you look at what Mitt Romney, okay, has done.
Where is Mitt Romney these days?
Hello.
I haven't heard
anything. He just got what. Trump did to him in the Secretary of State process was the closest to, like, he Jeb Bushed him.
I really hope that Mitt Romney is like just in every way, shape, somewhere form. Like in the like a you know, living in a Marriott conference room somewhere, just having people come parade in and out with ideas of how he can get back at Trump.
Maybe he's just being rich and taking care of his like 12 kids or whatever is happening.
Nah, he's got, I think it's his kids are now.
Maybe I could make a formidable speech. Remember the last time that had a major effect? I'll come out and say, this is not very good of you to do.
All right, we got to take a, we got a Jimmy Reefer Cake song. Oh, and Jimmy Reefer Cake is celebrating, I noticed, on Twitter because it's is marijuana has now become legal in Maine, or is that what he was talking about? Or just for him?
Obviously, everything's no problems more.
Just for him.
All right, what is the name of the song?
It's called Blame Weed.
Blame Weed.
Whether it's sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever, you know they'll find a way to blame weed. Marijuana is the nation's number one cash crop, but scapegoating the weed still will never stop. You've got the outright haters, but that's not all. What's more, the liberal Trojan horse is behind the other door. But they don't care what we need. They don't care what we need. For every single problem, they'll blame weed. So blame weed for your alcohol problem. So blame weed. It made you smoke cigarettes, didn't it? So blame weed for all that sniffing of cocaine. So blame weed for the needle that you're sticking in your vein. Blame weed for Cheetos and big fat sodas. Blame weed for crime and pollution. If your workforce fails to meet the quotas, testing everybody's piss as if that's the real solution. But they don't care what we need. They don't care what we need. For every single problem, they'll blame weed.
All right, Jimmy Reefer Cake, celebrating Maine. Just got recreational pot. Recreational marijuana, now legalized in Maine. I mean, the question is Jimmy Reefer Cake, is the fire still going to be there? You know, this is one of those situations where the dog finally catches the car and the intensity bleeds out. I mean, he did a song about weed this time. I hope not. Because this was the animating factor for Jimmy Reefer Cake. I hope I'm not saying that out of turn. I mean, his name is Jimmy Reefer Cake, and I don't know if that was, I don't know, it's possible. Do you think that was his God-given name? Do you think that's his God-given surname?
It is tough. It's sort of like if the NRA gets everything they want, what do they have to fight for at past a certain point?
Right. But it'll remain to be seen. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program. Don't forget, you can support this program by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. You can support this program and your love of coffee by going to justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. If you buy crap from Amazon, if you buy it from jet.com, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. You will notice no difference. You go to that link, click on the link, bookmark it, use that as your Amazon or jet.com portal. You will notice zero difference. And but we get a little bit of kickback every time you do it. So head over there. And also, you look into the show description for our sponsors. We don't sponsor stuff that sucks. Yesterday, we left the camera on, I guess, on YouTube, streaming a little live, and people saw me attempting to resist a Shari's Berry. And
it was pathetic.
It was the saddest thing.
It was actually really disgusting.
Kelly was like, you better eat one of these because I'm going to eat all of them. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then I had one, and I was like, oh, God. And
I want more.
The strawberries are incredibly juicy. I don't know where they get these things, but it spilled all over my thing, and then I had to have another one. So good.
Because of the spill?
Because I can't have one of those.
Yeah, I can relate.
I want another shekel.
I can't. Exactly. No, I have a problem with sweets. People know I have a problem with sweets. People know I have a problem with sweets. I mean, I could not eat for 2 days and not even notice it until, and then I could eat constantly for 2 days.
It's interesting.
Anyways, 646-257-3920.
Yeah, sounds good.
See you next week.
And by the way, might as well eat.
Oh, and we're sending out the email blast this afternoon, right, Kelly?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, finally. It was my fault.
Did you include my article in it?
It wasn't your fault. It was.
Oh, what?
There's so much news.
Sam.
So much news.
What's the matter with you?
Well, we'll do the next one.
Sad.
Yeah, we're going to do another one, and we'll put Michael's article in.
Sounds good.
Michael had a little article in a little Democracy Journal. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
An apple pie.